Okay, fabulous. So you've all got a Bible. That's good news. I do recommend bringing one to church. So in your Bibles that you've now got or on your phones, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 21. And to begin with, Catherine's about to come and read it to us. But at the beginning of this talk, instead of me just jumping in and just saying a load of things, we're actually going to spend a bit of time individually working through the passage and in small groups trying to draw out various things that stand out to us. So I really want you to be, I want you to read the passage in the Bible that you've got in your hands as Catherine reads it to us. And then we're going to have some time to reread it to ourselves. So Catherine, why don't you come up? Why don't you use this mic? It's a bit easier. And then we'll go from there.
If you do have a church Bible, it's on page 1161. So from chapter 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Brilliant. Thank you, Catherine. So here's what we're going to do. Over the next sort of 5 minutes, what I'd like you to do is to read the passage again to yourselves. Don't all read it out loud. That'd be really annoying. Read it to yourself. And as you're reading it, I want you to just ask God the question, God, highlight one thing to me from this. As you read it, one thing will jump out, whether it's just one word or a verse or something of that passage will jump out to you. Once that's happened and you've read it through, I want you then to ask God another question and say, God, why are you highlighting that to me? And then I want you to read it again. Okay? And then once we've done that, I'll give you the next instruction. Okay, so Nick will put some lovely background music on and that'll just help your reading muscles. But let's read it through a couple of times and just ask God those questions and we'll go from there. Okay, over to you, 5 minutes. We've got another couple of minutes, so do keep reading it. Don't disengage. If you decided that you didn't fancy reading it for some point, this is going to be a really boring evening for you, so I would really recommend reading it. Keep going. Even if you feel like you've read it way too many times, just read it slowly. Take your time. Okay, hopefully you've had enough time to do that. What I'd like us to do now is to break down into threes and fours, making sure that nobody's left out and making sure that we don't just surround ourselves with people we know, but the people around us, anybody we think maybe doesn't know many people. And all I want you to do is to share that one thing that you felt stood out from that passage. If you sort of think, oh, it's really not impressive, I'm really not looking for that. I'm just looking for you to just share one thing that stood out. Even if it feels simple or even if it feels random, just share it. So let's break into groups of four and make sure everybody's included. Introduce yourselves and then share that one thing that you felt stood out from the passage. Okay, go for it. Let's break down into threes and fours. Make sure you keep looking around you to make sure everybody's involved. Make sure everyone's in a group. Make sure we got it. Get everyone involved. If they want to be. Share that one thing. Be the
victor has won, and heaven has come, and now you're taking us higher.
Okay, sorry to interrupt those wonderful conversations, but I need you to stop me. Brilliant. Cool. So carry on those chats afterwards, I reckon, if you just got going, if you felt like I cut you short. But a couple of things I want you to be listening out for. I'm only going to share for sort of 10, 15 minutes, and then we're going to have a prayer exercise that Helena's going to lead us in. And what I want you to listen out for is for things that you shared in your groups that now come out either in this talk or in the prayer exercise. Because that is one way that God often speaks to us, is he sort of confirms things by repeating them a number of times. And so he'll bring some of your attention to a specific thing in this passage that is going to be something that I'm going to focus on. And the reason I wanted us to have an opportunity to look at it and explore it together first is that I don't know what you've said. So I can't now try and talk about everything that has been shared in the room. And that doesn't mean if I don't talk about what we shared that it's not God speaking to you. It is. But one way that I want you to realize that God speaks to you is when you're reading scripture and something stands out, that as clear as day, the Holy Spirit knocking on your door and saying, hey, I'm getting your attention. And if I, in my talk, start talking about the very thing that you mentioned, God is on your case. And you can no longer say to anybody that you don't hear the voice of God. Good to settle that one. So why don't I pray and then we'll get going. Father, thank you so much that you're with us. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you guide us through the scriptures, through each other. Thank you that you hide your voice for us to find. Thank you that you don't want to be hard to find because you want to be obscure, but because you want to share the joy of being found with us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We adore you. We love you. We love your leadership. We love your guidance. Keep doing it. Amen. Amen. I feel like back left, everybody's sliding that way, and you're all just going to start falling off the chairs, because you just, anyway, we'll see. So, we're in week two of a series all about the overflow, how the internal reality of our connection with God spills out into what we say, do, and our sort of behavior. And last week, we were looking at James chapter 3, where James says, how can a fig tree bear olives? How can a vine bear figs? A fresh water spring cannot bear forth salt water. Effectively, what is on the inside of us comes out. What we say, what we do, our actions is actually a signpost to our internal reality. Sometimes we can disconnect the two, and that's called pretending, which isn't the best way of living, not terribly healthy. But often what we say and do is a direct reflection of our internal reality. And what I was saying last week was that in our sharing of our faith with other people, whether it's a new faith, a faith that is being explored and isn't really concrete, or a faith that's been going for years, as we share that with other people, my encouragement to us last week was to be transparent, to just share where you're at, just be honest. Tell people about what God's doing in your life. Tell them about your struggles with faith. Tell them about your doubts. Just be honest. Don't dress it up. Don't dress it down. Don't hide the truth, and don't try to make it really, really sparkly, shiny. Just be honest. And this week, I want to focus on how we engage with other people. And the three things that I want to talk about, let's go through them and get on with it. I hear you say with your eyes. So the first one that I see from this passage, and I'm literally just going to walk through the passage, just like you've just done. Okay? So I'm going to start at verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. Please note that Paul does not say Christ's love should compel you. He just says Christ's love compels us. He's not setting a standard. He's just saying something that's natural to him. So if we feel that Christ's love does not compel us, what do we do? Do we go, oh my goodness, something's gone wrong, I'm not doing well enough? Or do we just turn to God and say, God, please will you show me your love again? Because if Christ's love is not compelling you, you don't force it. That's not the answer. You go back to the Father and say, I don't know you well enough. Help me to see, help me to see, help me to see. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Verse 15, read it with me. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is where we really get going. Verse 16, so, whenever there's a so in scripture, it's referring to the thing that's just been said. So because of the fact that Jesus died for everyone, and that they're convinced that life makes sense when it's orientated around him. Because of that truth, so, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So now we regard no one from a worldly point of view. What does that scripture mean? It means that there are two versions of everyone. There's heaven's version, and there's earth's version. How God designed somebody, and how they may be acting and living right now. Heaven's version is invisible, impossible to see without God's wisdom and help. It's invisible. The only one who sees it is God. We cannot know it unless it comes from him. Earth's view of people is obvious and easy to see. Earth's view of people focuses on their shortcomings, their negative character traits, and their issues. Heaven's view of people focuses on their potential, who they were designed to be, and the best version of themselves. The key that I want to point out from this is you will not know how God sees people if you are not asking God how he sees people. You cannot see people as he sees people without asking him, because it's invisible. It's invisible to our eyes. We have to ask. We have to ask. And the scripture here says, consider nobody from an earthly point of view, because people are actually changed and transformed as we call out of them the best version of themselves. When we see in someone, hey, you know what? I can see that you're a business leader. I can see that you're designed to do incredible things with business. Hey, I see that you're fantastic with people, that you have an amazing ability to actually care what's happening in people's lives, that you don't see the patients that you work with as just numbers on a piece of paper, but as names, and that you work really hard to really care about the individual. I see that you have an ability to lighten a room with your easy conversation. All these things that we may call out on people that they may not realize for themselves, but slowly they begin to go, actually, I think I might believe that might be true. So that's what it means to consider people not from a worldly point of view, but from heaven's point of view. And Paul goes on, do keep looking at it with me. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. What he means by that is we once thought of Jesus as just a person. We thought he was like a rebel king. And then we saw the truth. Heaven tore the veil, and we saw really what was going on, that he had a totally different DNA, purpose, design that was hidden in heaven, and now we see it because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's just the same what we do for other people, what happened with Christ. Carry on, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. That's good news. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Do you count people's sins against them? How easy do you let go of wrongdoing? How easily do you let go when people disappoint you, when they frustrate you, when they don't perform to the highest standard, when they don't fulfill or meet your need, when they say something that challenges you and is hurtful? Do we forget and forgive easily? Because Christ is hidden within us, God is hidden within you and me, the ministry of reconciliation. The very heartbeat of God is caught up in you and me, that we represent God's desire for all of humanity to be connected in relationship with him. And right at the heart of his desire to reconcile humanity to himself is the forgetting and the forgiveness of sins, is the letting go of wrongdoing, is wiping the slate clean and starting again. Forgiveness is right at the heart of the gospel. And let me tell you, forgiveness is right at the heart of the discipleship. The discipleship, just discipleship would have been fine, Andrew. Forgiveness is right at the heart of things. And without it, we actually block ourselves from God using us. Now, let me tell you that God does not invite us to forgive because he'd be angry if we didn't. He invites us to forgive because he wants us to thrive. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to experience life in all its fullness. Forgiveness is incredibly painful. Go back to the Father and see how painful forgiveness is when he forgives you and me. If we want to know what it means to be the righteousness of God, as Paul goes on to describe in a minute, to be ministers of reconciliation, we have to let go of wrongdoing. Now, at work especially, I want to focus on work today, whatever form that takes. It can be really easy to adjust our standard of somebody based on their behavior. They let me down, so I expect less. They let me down further, I expect even less. And some of that is really healthy because you can't keep overloading expectation on somebody who's underperforming. It's just a reality. We don't want to continually set ourselves up to be disappointed unnecessarily. And so there's an element where we need to be wise with how we relate to people and work with people. It's not just work, it's just how you relate to people. But internally, I think it's very easy to begin to allow our culture, who we are, our approach to life, our character, to be shifted based on other people's behavior. They're starting to be mean to me. They're being mean to me, and so I'm just going to stop being as kind. You know, they don't give me much warning about work they want me to do, so I'm going to be quite short back to them. And you see, actually, your culture starts getting affected by their culture. That is the wrong way around, ladies and gents. We bring our own sunshine. Our culture is untouchable. Untouchable. It can be rejected time and time again. And yes, we adjust how we relate to people based on their capacity and based on how they want to relate to us. But do not let other people's culture interfere with your culture. Be consistent. Be steady. Know your culture and be your culture. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. What I mean by that is set the temperature, don't tell the temperature. Yeah? Let's carry on. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Note that Paul does not say, we have to therefore work incredibly hard to represent Christ as best we can by putting together flawless sentences of pure logic that will convince people to adhere to the gospel that we adhere to. Not in there, not even in the Amplified Translation, or the Message, or the Passion Translation. Not even in the Good News Bible. None of them. All it says is we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. It is a reality. It is a reality. This is who you are. You represent Christ. The message is not that you have to work hard to represent him. He has chosen you to represent him. And we all do it differently because we're all part of the body and different parts of the body. Some of us are like a toe and we represent a toe. Some of us are like an Achilles tendon. You can carry on with every part of the body. I got distracted. As though, yeah, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making... I actually got distracted by Val's laugh. Right? I thought, I don't often make you laugh, do I, actually? Normally you just sort of look slightly pityingly at me when I try and make a joke. So it's quite nice to make you laugh. Sorry? Thank you. That's nice. She just said she loved me, which is really lovely. I love you too, Val. Thank you. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be right with God. Don't leave things unsaid. Don't leave things unsaid. Be with him in every part of life. Be reconciled with God. 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. He went through everything on the cross to make you and me his righteousness. He didn't just save us from sin. He calls us into being his righteousness. It is amazing. And the final thing I want to focus on is if this is a passage of declaration of who we are as Christians, that we are ambassadors of the message of reconciliation, that we are now the righteousness of God, that now the old has gone and the new has come. then it's important that we remain connected to who we are in every aspect of life. Especially, I want to focus tonight on in work. Because it is super easy to disconnect who we are from what we do. She's coming back in a better mood. It's really easy to go to work and we just shut down who we are. We shut down the elements of our character. We shut down our interest in people, our question asking, our genuineness, our authenticity. We just shut it down and do a job. Because that's what we're paid to do, isn't it? We're paid to do a job. No, you're not sent to work to earn money. The money's the reward, not the purpose. The purpose is to be you wherever you are. So do not disconnect who you are from what you do. Because God has hand-placed us in every place of work, every place where we spend our week, to be the full version of ourselves there. Do not think that we shut down who we are when we walk through the work doors. Because if you do that, then you're shutting down the fact that you are now the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God will have quite a dramatic impact on your workplace in time. So what does it look like to disconnect who we are from what we do? Well, I think it's often a self-perception. When we stop thinking about how we're relating to people, when we stop thinking about how we're treating people, how we're speaking to people, what they might be feeling, what's going on in their personal lives, what maybe is affecting their day-to-day life. When we stop thinking like that and think predominantly in terms of projects, tasks, deadlines, targets, if that's the main thing that's running around our head at work, may I suggest that we may have disconnected from what we do, we've disconnected who we are from what we do. Because really, everything that we do, every workplace, every part of life, is it rises and it falls on people. You and me, people. Every workplace is just people. Every company is just people. Everything is really just people. Everywhere. And so it's important that we understand that we as people are designed to interact in remarkable ways with people. So are you aware of how you relate to people? It's starting to sound really funny when I say people. Isn't it? Piopla. That's how it's spelt. So let's say we need to think about how we relate to Piopla. That's weird. So, and I really want us to think about that, about the workplace. About places where it's so easy just to slip into this way of being that we didn't choose, but that we start doing. And, you know, if you don't have a sense of if God's called you to your workplace, well, first and foremost, ask the question. If he didn't send you there and he doesn't want you there, then why are you there? If you're there and you don't know why, this is what happened with my work. I started working for this charity and I didn't really know why. There wasn't a sense of specific call there. It just happened. But over the course of 2-3 years, that sense of call has come. I've understood why God placed me there. So the call doesn't always come first. Sometimes it's unraveled when we're within it. So if you have a sense of call, then be wholehearted. But understand that your life is one thing. You are one person throughout life. So if you're somebody who switches off who you are at the workplace, that says a huge amount about you. Is that who you want to be? Is that who we want to be? I don't think anyone would sign up to that. Hey, I would like to be a divided person who's different in different environments. You know, it's just not the picture that we would sign up for ourselves. So I really want you to think about that. Okay, so what we're going to do now is Helena's going to come up and lead us in a little prayer exercise. And it's going to be totally geared around that first point, which is how do we consider people from heaven's point of view? How do we get a glimpse of how God sees people, how he designed people? And how do we then release that and encourage them and call that out in them? Okay, so underneath the inside chair on both rows is little piles of paper. So if you're on that end of the row, and pens. So grab a little piece of paper and pass the piece of paper and a pen along the row. If you're in the cafe area, there's some little bits of paper just down here with some pens. If you're on the back pew, Solomon Hardy's just found the treasure I hid earlier, which is some paper and some pens. Okay, so make sure everyone's got one. Okay. Okay. And then I'll hand over to Helena, and she'll take us from here.
Okay, so everybody should have a bit of paper and a pen. So this is just going to be a little time of reflection after what Andrew's just said. We're going to just have some time to reflect and ask God to highlight someone that's in our day-to-day lives. It might be someone at work. It might be someone that you just come into contact with day by day, someone you live with, a family member, a friend. So, yeah, that's the first thing we're just going to do. So if we just take some time now just to ask God to highlight somebody in your day-to-day lives, just someone might just pop into your mind. Might be someone you don't know very well. That's okay. Just ask God for that person now. Okay, when you think that God's given you somebody, someone's popped into your mind, just begin asking God how he sees that person. It might help to write some of those things down on a bit of paper. I'll give you some ideas of questions which you can use if you want to. So you could ask God, what special characteristics did you design this person with? If something pops into your mind that you think could be God, just write it down. You can ask God, God, what are you wanting to encourage in this person at the moment? What are you wanting to encourage? And what are you wanting to nurture in them at the moment? And then you could just ask God, how can I help to grow those things in them? How can I help to grow those things in them? And now I'd just like to encourage you for the next couple of minutes just to spend time praying for that person. Just pray for those things that God's highlighted to you about them. Declare those things, those characteristics that he's designed in them. Declare those things over them. just pray that the things God wants to nurture in them can happen. Okay, I'm just going to pray to close this reflection time. But there might be other people that God wants to speak to you about as well. So keep asking him. Father, thank you for the people in our lives that you've brought to mind today. Thank you that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by you. Would you help us to see them as you see them? And help us to pray for those things to grow in them that you've shown us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Helena. It's brilliant. So it's you know, it's such a simple exercise, really, and yet we now get to go and call these things out on people, gently encourage them, gently say, hey, you know, I think you're like this. Did you ever know that you were like that? And just help them to see themselves differently. And slowly over time, we can actually genuinely change people's self-perception to match God's perception of them, which is a remarkable, remarkable thing. So I think we'll close there this evening. I think there may be people who would like to pray with others around them, or maybe through the course of the evening felt like they had an encouragement or a word of scripture for somebody around you. So please do take some time just connecting with the people around you and share anything like that if it did pop to mind. There'll be tea and coffee at the back, and it'd be lovely to connect with you. But don't rush off from the people you're sitting with and that you connected with earlier and shared those thoughts with earlier. Do just spend a bit of time saying hello to them and getting to know them. And then grab a tea or coffee when you want. So let me pray, and then we'll finish there. Father, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you that you lead us in incredibly practical ways, as well as in all of the sort of internal emotional health ways, that you also just give us useful tools that we can implement day to day. Father, we pray for your wisdom. We pray for the wisdom that comes from heaven, that we can see people as you see people. Lord, I pray that we don't disconnect ourselves, who we are, from what we do, that we don't switch off the journey, the character journey that you're taking us on. Father, I pray that we would embrace the fact, the truth that we are now your righteousness, all by grace, to represent, to be ambassadors of your relentless pursuit of reconciling humankind to yourself. We love you, Father. We give you permission, Holy Spirit. Speak, work, refine. Amen. Brilliant. Do connect with those around you and grab a cup of tea and coffee.